So thankful, our pastor and elders, for giving me the opportunity to bring the word, to stand and be a witness to the gospel of Christ, and I'm thankful to have that time here together today. As Brother Billy already reminded us, pray for our pastors. He recovers. I know there are many, many that are dealing with sickness in their bodies and loved ones. Many are under great burdens, heavy situations that are going on in their lives, physically, spiritually. We'll lift one another up in prayer. We'll do that in just a moment. But my desire this morning, as saints of God, to encourage you, to equip you, as we look at these scriptures this morning, in your walk with Christ, as we share the gospel with those that God puts in our path, and our family and our friends, I want to share some scripture with you that will encourage us and give us instruction and direction as we look at that this morning. And then for the one who is here that is not saved, I want to, as clearly as the Holy Spirit will allow me, to lay out what the Bible teaches about our sin and about the power of God and Jesus Christ's blood for salvation to us. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. That's the title of the message this morning, is that we need to know that. There are some scriptures, and we'll see this phrase repeated as we look through the verses this morning, is that, do you not know, or I know, do you know that? And that's a big road sign there, said, hey, you need to know these things, and I want us to look at those together. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning, in chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Let's read our text this morning, and then we'll take some time to ask the Lord to help us as we look through these together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to use verse 9, 10, 11 as we look at this morning. So let's look at this together. And here's our phrase right from the get-go. Or do you not know? That means we need to know this. Don't you know this? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolater, nor the adulterer, nor the men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the reviler, nor the swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Can I say us right there? Such were some of us. Here's the good news, though. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I want us to know that truth this morning. Let's pray to the Lord to ask us to help us as we look at these that we have mentioned, those that are on our heart and our mind right now that are struggling. Lift them up to the Lord as we pray together. I want to give you just a minute before I pray to do that. As the Lord brings someone to your heart, that you would just lift them up together, then I'll close us in prayer, all right? Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much for your perfect word of truth. It is your light that leads us into paths of righteousness. God, I ask that your holy, perfect will be done here this morning. God, I think about my pastor. I think about those that are in hospitals, those that are caring for those this morning. So many different needs that are there. God, you are not blind and ignorant of any of them. God, we trust that your perfect will to be done in all things. Give us, please, Lord, the wisdom and the understanding. Your word tells us you give us those things freely, without reproach. Give it, Lord, not so that we can say, look at us, but so that we can rightly proclaim and obey your word at all times, in every situation. Thank you, Lord, for that word. God, I ask you, forgive me when I do not trust you. Forgive me when I do not obey that perfect word. Help us to not live in that way. Thank you, God, for not leaving us dead in our sins. Thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We praise you, Lord. Guard my words. Let them be your truth. Keep us from error in speaking and understanding as we look at your word this morning. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. We need to know. We need to know that. So let's look at this 1 Corinthians verse, chapter 6 and verse 9. The first part of verse 9, let's look at it again. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So the unrighteous have been named here. So we need to see who that is. They are described as a group that will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are not saved. They will not have a part in heaven. So let's look at a definition that we can get from this Greek word of unrighteous. And we get some words to help us understand what unrighteous is. It's a wrongdoer or an unjust person or a wicked person. Now, if you're like me, you probably are thinking of some notorious person. You know, we all have the regulars, you know, Hitler, Pol Pot, you go down the line, you got those people, right? And reality is, most church members, if you ask them to make a list, they put four or five people on the list. But here is what you need to know. I am on that list. You are on that list. We all are the unrighteous. We will not inherit the kingdom of God if we are unrighteous. There's a very well often quoted verse in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. You all know it. It says, all have what? All have sinned. That means they've fallen short of God's glory, the verse continues on. Later on in Romans chapter 7, Paul says that he knows it. He says, I know, Romans is verse 18 of Romans 7, I know, it's not on the screen. It says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. So Paul understood this, and it was important that we understand what it means, how we start out in life as unrighteous. And then it goes on, the end of that verse, it says, do not be deceived. The reason it says do not be deceived is because you can be deceived. He wants you to know, right? The likelihood of deception is great in this matter. So he tells us, do not be deceived. Do not compare your goodness, quote unquote, to the wickedness of another person. There's the deception. So when we make that list, right, of those people, it's all people that we view as more sinful than us. But the problem is that's not the standard of measurement. The standard of measurement for righteousness is not someone else. It's God. So do not be deceived. Do not measure yourself using the wrong ruler, right? Everybody can find someone that is worse off than they are in their mind. So he gives us a list. As verse 9 continues on into verse 10, this list is given and it's meant to show us who we really are. As you see this list, you see there are even some 10 commandments that are given to us back in Exodus. There's some 10 commandments here that are even listed verbatim. He's showing us what the law is supposed to do. It's a mirror. It shows us who we really are. The law teaches us who we truly are apart from Christ. And so he gives us this list so that we stop comparing ourselves to the wrong measurement. He says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolater, nor the adulterer, nor the men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the reviler. That reviler, that's the abusive, verbally or physically, nor the swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. You see this? It shows our inability to stand before a holy God and not be condemned to death. We do not have the ability to do that on our own. We have all, every one of us, have broken his law. And I know this is kind of hard coming at you here, but my prayer is you need to know this. If you don't agree with this, if you don't see yourself as unrighteous apart from Christ, I pray God will open your eyes and let you see your condition this morning. That is the utmost importance, that you understand your need for salvation. That's my prayer today, that you know it. We need to know this. He says, do you not know it? Don't be deceived. Well, the second thing that we need to know this morning is that the righteous, we've talked about the unrighteous. I want you to see the righteous. The righteous do not inherit, the unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God, but the righteous will not live in sin. That's the second thing Scripture points out that we need to know. Now, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Now, I want to go to Romans 6, 9 through 12. Nice that it worked that way. Hopefully, it'll help you remember what we've been reading. We read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12. Now, let's turn over to the book of Romans. But same chapters and verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. We should know that the righteous do not live in sin. He says, here's our phrase, we know. We know this. It's not up for debate. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Never. Why? Because death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died to sin, but it was not his sin. He did not die because he sinned. He had none. He died for the sins of the world. That's why he died. And he died once for all. But he didn't stop there. He rose 3 days later. God raised him from the dead. And he says the life that Jesus lives, he lives to God. And we know that to be true. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are made his footstool, ever interceding on behalf of his beloved, right? So here's the comparison. We saw what Jesus did, and he is righteous. Now us. So you, church, you, verse 11, also, you must consider yourselves dead to sin, just like Christ, and alive to God, just like Christ. What does Jesus say? I only do the will of my Father. That's what I live for. That is my bread. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Saint, you know that you sin. We are not pretending once we are a Christian and Jesus forgives us of our sin that we don't sin again. We know that not to be true. But that is not our walk. That is not our life. That is not our habit. We don't get confused when I say this. We don't sin all we want. We sin more than we want. Because we don't want to sin at all. Any sin in our life is more than we want. That is not our habit. It does not reign in the righteous's mortal body. So what is the righteous? Because we want to be in that group, right? We want to be the righteous. So let's look at the definition of righteous. We said the unrighteous was the wrongdoer. The unjust, the wicked. Here's how we might define. So, well, let me ask you this. The wrongdoer, the unjust, the wicked. That sounds like me. That's a pretty good description of me apart from Christ, okay? Look at the definition of righteous. Righteous means just, right, innocent, holy. Who does that sound like, church? The ultimate Sunday school answer, Jesus. That's Jesus. That's how we become righteous. When Jesus puts the just, the innocence, the holiness in us, we get Christ's righteousness. He takes our unrighteous. The righteous are able to die to sin like Jesus died to sin. The righteous are able to live to God, not by some muster, some great work that we do, not by doing enough good to cover up the bad. No, we are able to be righteous because Jesus has given us his righteousness. God has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all, and we get to stand redeemed and righteous before a holy God because of what our Lord has done, what our Savior has done. He's wonderful. He's good. He's righteous. Yeah. Let's back up just a little bit in Romans. We read Romans 6. We read 9, 10, and 11, and 12. Let's look earlier in that chapter. Let's go all the way back to verse 1. One of the things that I have learned, I'm still learning, as I've been given the opportunity to preach, it's hard to cut out verses. Like, can't we just like read the whole thing? But I know that's not wise. That's not good teaching. So, but I got to go back at least to verse 1 of chapter 6, because I think it helps us to see the deception when we don't know these things, how Christ has made this possible. So let's look at this. Paul is kind of addressing some common questions that you might hear, and he gives the answers. I love it when the Bible asks a question and then goes ahead and gives me the answer. It's like the open book test, right? I love that. So this is what happens here in this first part of Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, exclamation point, he says. No. How can we who died to sin still live in it? If you're dead, you're not alive. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? And it continues on. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, how? Into Christ Jesus. It's not our own, not our own work. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus, into his death. We were buried, therefore, with Christ. See, we've done nothing on our own. There's nothing on our own but sin. That's it. With him, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too, because of that, we can walk in a newness of life. You see how it's not good stuff that we do? We have nothing good in us. Remember what Paul said in Romans 7? There is no good thing in my flesh. It's all in Christ, with Christ. The righteous do not live in sin. They walk in a newness of life. And look at verse 5. He makes this point here. He says, if we have been united with him in a death like his. Now look up at verse 3. It says that we have. Don't you know? We need to know this. This is something we need to know. Well, you need to know that everybody who is in Christ has been baptized into a death like his. What kind of death did he have? A death to sin. That's what he said. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. Certainly, it is a done deal. Certainly, we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. It's a blessed hope. It's a blessed certainty that we have that. And because of that, because of Christ and no other reason, the righteous will not live in sin. You need to know that. That is a way that you know that you are part of the righteous. When we look at this and we see the truth of this, it gives us a great burden that is lifted, that we know that Christ has done it all. He's done a great work, and he didn't leave anything to clean up. We don't get ourselves right. We don't try to do something. Christ has done the work already for us. Let's continue on with verse 6. We know our old self was crucified. You see that? He started again. We know. You need to know that. This is another thing you need to know. We know that our old self was crucified, not by us, but with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer, my chains are gone, like we sang this morning, we are no longer enslaved to sin. The one who has died has been set free from sin. And if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him now and in the age to come. That is the promise that we have there. And we can know that. That is not a, hey, I heard this thing. We know it is certain. I want to tie a few more verses in Romans chapter 6 together. We just read Romans 6, but I want to put it with verses 20 and 21. And I've got it, excuse me, I've got it on the screen here so we can kind of look at them and see some of the similarities together. But this is 6, and then I want to go right into verse 20 and 21 as we read this. We know, there's our know again, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Because when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. You were, because you had none. But what fruit were you getting? Think about your life. Saint of God, that would say, think about where you were before God saved you. What fruit were you getting at that time from those things of which you are now ashamed? By the way, that's another good indication that you're righteous. You are ashamed of those things in the past and present. The end of those things is death. Do you see that? When you were a slave of sin, you might have been living it up, but what was the fruit that you were getting? The end of those things is death. But it doesn't have to be that way. We do not have to stay that way. God has given us a way of escape. Let's look at verse 7. And let me put it with verse 8 and 22. I thought it was so good. The Lord showed me this. So good. The one who has died has been set free from sin. We've been set free from sin. When we die to it, we are no longer married to sin. We've been set free from it. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and you have now become slaves to God. You're no longer a slave to sin. You are a slave to God. What fruit do you get from that, church? It leads to sanctification. What's the end of sanctification? Eternal life, not eternal death. It's eternal life. That is the fruit we get. It's not death. It's not hell. It's not judgment. It's not condemnation. It's eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior forever. We're justified. We're glorified. We're sanctified. We are saved. That is the power of the blood of Christ putting his righteousness on us. It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's one more thing I want to share with you that you need to know. You need to know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to know that the righteous will not live in sin. And then, friend, I want you to know, you need to know that your sins can be forgiven and you can be saved. That verse, the end of that chapter 6 says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to know that. You need to know that. You need to know your sins can be forgiven and you can be saved. Let's get back to our text back in 1 Corinthians. We'll leave Romans for a little while. It's good stuff. I encourage you to go back and read chapter 6 again. It's good. It'll bless you. But let's go back to where we began, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we see this, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 10, back with that list of things that we read, that list to show us where God, what God brings us out of, what he has done through the power of the cross. In verse 10, it says, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolater, nor the adulterer, nor the men who practice homosexuality, nor the thief, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the reviler, the swindler, will inherit the kingdom of God. We see that, and we know we stand guilty and condemned. And then he says in verse 11, and such, church, were some of you. Don't let the lie that God will not forgive you even begin to deceive you. That is a lie of Satan. God can forgive. His blood is powerful enough to save. There is no sin that he will not redeem us from. Don't let that lie even enter your thought. As I said before, don't think you have to get some things right before you can come to Christ. As the word says, do not be deceived. We have no power to do any of those things apart from Christ. And he says, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. That list that we read there, believers, I want you to let that be a reminder, like it was for me, of what God has done for us, what he's brought us out of, so that we can proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. We can proclaim it boldly, without compromise. We can know what the power of the blood of Christ can do, and we do it proclaiming that truth in the love that he has poured into our heart when he saved us, so we can pour it out to those who need to be saved. Remember that as you witness, as you teach teachers, as we proclaim the gospel of Christ. Don't become, we never want to come across as we think we are good enough to tell you about this, right? That is not the case. God has picked us up out of the miry clay. He has set us on a firm foundation. Remember, everything we read about in Romans 6 was in Christ and with Christ. And then as you sit here and you're not a believer, or you watching online, you're not a believer, I don't want you to even for a second, I want you to realize that. I don't want you to think that we are up on some self-righteous throne and we're looking down at you because you have not been saved. That is not the case. We are beggars just trying to tell other beggars where we found bread, okay? That is why it is so important that we know this. The scripture says, do you not know these things? So he says in verse 11, such were some of you, but what changed? Well, the first thing was, he says, you were washed. You were washed. That word washed gives the idea. Remember, we read about baptism back in Romans 6, right? How those who have died have been baptized into a death like his. That's why we practice the ordinance of believers' baptism as a visual to show the world we have been died with Christ, like we read, and we've been raised to walk in a newness of life. That is a visual representation of what Jesus has done in our heart when he saves us. So the first thing he's done, he has washed us. Verse 3 of chapter Romans 6:3, it says, do you not know all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus are dead to sin? That's what he does when he washes us. And the next thing he says, you are sanctified. That word sanctified can mean free from the guilt of sin. Jesus made the atonement before God for us, and that makes us guiltless. Think about that. We are guiltless. We are sanctified before God because Jesus' blood has atoned for our sin. He has paid the debt that we owed. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, and you were justified. You've heard pastors say this before. That word means it's just as if I'd never sinned. You are justified. You're innocent. You are seen by a holy God as righteous because of the blood of Christ on you. How do you do that? Remember, I had all that highlighted in Christ, with Christ, in Christ. Look how this verse 11 ends. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit living inside of us puts the righteousness of Christ on us so that when we stand before God, he sees us as righteous, washed, sanctified, and one day, church, we'll be glorified to live with him forever. That's the promise, the blessed hope that we have. You need to know that you are in that number. That's why I wanted to share this truth of the gospel with you this morning. Think about, let me read a few lyrics of the verse, of the song that Lori shared with us this morning. After we talked about these scriptures, maybe it'll resonate with you. It said, and there at the cross, you, Jesus, paid the debt I owed. You broke my chains and you freed my soul. For the first time, I had hope. And now death has no sting. Remember, we died to it. Remember? Life has no end. I've been transformed by nothing I've done. How? The blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you. You have washed me white. That's not just a cool lyric of a song. That's scripture. We see it. That's what Jesus does. Thank you, Jesus. You, God, have saved me. You have saved my life. You brought me from death and darkness into the glorious light and life of Jesus Christ. You need to know that your hope and your trust, your sins are all placed on Jesus Christ, that you believe on him as Lord, that you believe that God raised him from the dead. You confess that he is Lord. The promise is that he will wash you, he will sanctify you, he will justify you. You will be saved. Man, if you will, come and let's sing together this hymn of invitation. As they do, friend, I want you to know, he's faithful, he's just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Without him, remember the judgment that was passed on the unrighteous. Without him, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We do not have eternal life, we have eternal death. We sing this song in a moment. I ask you, the Lord is dealing with you. That is the time to respond. If you have some question you want to talk about, find me after the service. Let's get this right. You need to know. You need to know these things that Scripture has pointed out to us this morning. Saints of God, we need to know what Christ says about us so that we are we are not ignorant of how to walk in that newness of life that Jesus has given us. He has given us the power to walk that way. We need to know that. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for just giving us this time together, for giving us this word that we could study it together and learn from it, for your Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all truth. Help us now, Lord. We cannot do any of this apart from you. Help us to be honest before you in all areas of our life, God. Help us as your church to use what you've taught us today to proclaim the salvation that you have given to us by faith alone in Christ alone. God, I thank you, thank you, thank you that you called me out of sin, that you saved my life. God, that you have given me the ability, the opportunity, the blessing to proclaim your word this morning. God, I ask that as we think about these things, that your truth, the power and glory of Jesus Christ would be above all else. And it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Daryl, come lead us, buddy.